Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on. Come on, stand to your feet. He's worthy to be praised this morning. Wow. Our God is so amazing. And this morning we're going to talk about one of the things that promises that Jesus gave to us. These last few weeks I've been talking about just kind of like bite-sized pieces of things we're going to learn about Jesus and how, as we prepare for the great celebration about Resurrection Sunday morning. I want to tell you something. This kind of came into my heart right now. Some people wait till Resurrection Sunday to invite people to come to church. Do you realize that? Give them a heads up ahead of time so they'll be used to the celebration we're going to have. Because it's going to be... No, I'm serious. Oh, that's the right time to invite... No. Every time's an opportunity for us to really get to know who Jesus is. But today we're going to talk about peace that goes beyond understanding. We're going to go to two particular portions of Scripture. First one is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, just a couple of Scriptures. Then to John chapter 14, 25 through 27. Those are our anchor Scriptures. So I'll start off with reading chapter 4, verse 5. It says this: "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Next one is yours. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now we're going over to John. This one is yours. And this verse I say, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." Verse 27 together. "With you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Lord, today we're going to learn about peace. And it's not like type of peace that the world wants to give us, but it's a type of peace that surpasses our ability to understand. Lord, there's many things that cries out in the world today that people want to have peace in the world, peace in families, peace in various other things in this life. But Lord, today we're going to learn something about you that you've given to us that surpasses all our ability to understand or comprehend. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to somebody, look them in the eye, tell them this: "Peace I give to you. Not my peace, but the peace of Jesus." You can go ahead and have a seat. Wow. You know, after we got together last week and we had dealing with our great nemesis of doubt, the Lord just put something in my heart. He says, don't leave them with doubt. Give them something that will bring a greater dimension. It's called peace. And the very mention of the word can evoke all types of responses, some that are fueled by the desperation to experience it, while others remain deeply immersed in trouble and turmoil, cannot fathom that such a thing could exist. The great promise of Jesus awaits all those who are willing to exchange the false hopes of the world for a relationship that brings peace that surpasses all understanding. Before you leave this auditorium today, I can guarantee you one thing will happen. You'll know peace in a whole different dimension, and it'll be able to rule your life. Here's the three questions. I often have three, but here's what I want to focus on today. Number one, has your level of peace been interpreted by the direction that you believe the world is headed? I don't know whether you read the headlines about, you know, planes that have been crashing and various other things, disturbances in various parts of the country and around the world, where people come into a mosque and say, "Well, there was a mosque and these people didn't believe in Jesus." Folks, those are human beings. Get over it. There's hope for everyone. If you say, "Well, you know," don't get that attitude of the devil. God is for peace. Jesus is for everybody. Come on. So when a lack of peace erupts in the world, it touched me on a whole different level. It wasn't the fact that they were Muslims. It's the fact that somebody lost their life because someone else wanted to take it. Second question I ask you, do the promises that you have found in the Word bring confidence and solace to your position in Christ? In other words, do you find peace when you read the Word? Because I want to show you how to do that, if in case that hasn't been the case. And the third thing I would present to you today, have you found yourself seeking distractions to help you cope with the everyday issues of life as a substitute for peace? Some of you, you're internet peace people. Some of you are phone people. Sit that thing on the table anytime, but, oh, Jesus, I got to... You can't even have a meal without that thing, you know, doing something to you. Can I get a witness in the house today? That is not a source of peace. Matter of fact, you want to get your day ruined, pick it up. I think one of these days, I'm going to declare a fast, a telephone fast. That you don't use that thing for a whole day. Just turn it off and don't even touch it. Some of you be in ER because your heart's be going too fast. Help us, Jesus. Let me just start off our discussion today. Don't be surprised when problems come your way. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is a good scripture. I have told you these things, so that in me that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's another word they use for trouble, it's called tribulation. I want to tell you right now, in this world you're going to tribulate. Now, if you know what tribulation is, I'll tell you, you have some trouble, and all of a sudden, and I'll tell you, the sign of trouble you get, and sometimes it will move your mind, it'll move your body, it'll cause you to, you know, get a little, you know, excited. But I want to tell you, but Jesus says, don't worry about that, because you can have peace, because I have overcome the world. Tribulation is not a word that's commonly used, but is rather something that we will experience through pressure, persecution, and stress. I'm kind of relinquished asking this question. How many of you are under pressure? Don't vote on that one because I don't have time for therapy for everybody. But pressure, persecution, and stress are identified by many people that are here. Peace is the promise that Jesus from Jesus to all those who will trust him in every situation of your life. Now, there's some things you've relegated to, you know, other parts of people to help you out, but Jesus wants to have rulership and actually lordship over every area of your life, which means this. The challenges of this world are no match for the peace that is available to all those who believe and trust in Jesus. In other words, there's nothing that you're going through right now that Jesus can't handle. So, well, you don't know. I'm going through financial stress. I'm going through stress that the doctor told me there's certain things going on in my body that they don't have a cure for. The very best thing that can happen is you get to go see Jesus early. Hello. So you know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. What's up with that? Y'all are strange. That's all I know. The Lord has already overcome everything that would be a threat to our peace. He's overcome death. He's overcome hell and the grave. So there should be nothing for you to stress out about. But in these next few moments, I need to educate you how that works. So peace is a constant state of being because Jesus promised to never leave us. Now, here's one reason why you will not have peace. Right now, you feel alone. Isn't it quiet in here? Why'd you bring that up? Because there's a lot of things you've relegated that, oh, I'll handle this, and you won't allow anyone else into that particular avenue of your life. You want to handle it by yourself. For you independent, you know, people like that. You lone rangers, I got something. You need a Tonto. You need someone to help you because you're not as strong as you think you are. Well, what does that mean? That the challenges of this world are no match for the peace that is available to us. But here's the thing. Peace is the constant state, is a constant state of being because of Jesus' promise to never leave us. Peace is not tolerance. There's a lot of things you tolerate in life. You know, that neighbor that comes over and just goes, yeah, and you kind of tolerate things. Oh, here she comes. Jesus. Ha, ta, 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 ta. You know, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was just your ha, ta, 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 ta. That's your coping mechanism. But God doesn't say you need a coping mechanism. You need to have real, genuine peace. Well, the Holy Spirit is a comforter and a guide to all truth and righteousness. And we can overcome the challenges of the enemy without a struggle as we learn to rely on the peace of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a state of nirvana. I'm not talking about you crossing your legs. I thought I was going to demonstrate crossing my legs on the stage. I tried it at home. It didn't work. So my illustration has been totally shattered because I need one on the right, one on the left to get me back up again. But I'll tell you, it ain't going to work anyway. But we can overcome the challenges of the enemy. Our faith in Jesus is the one guarantee of peace through his justification. Romans 5:1. This is the first foundation of why you know you can have peace that will actually work. Here we go. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Now, the people that are sitting in this room right now that do not have peace or can't even apply for peace are those who are still living under the law of sin. You're hoping that Jesus doesn't come before you repent. I can take care of that for you because we're going to have an opportunity to make peace with God, but for you to have peace in your soul that knowing that Jesus isn't holding anything against you because he's taken care of all your sins. It's all been taken care of. Therefore, being justified by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus Christ. You have peace with God. Well, here's how it works out, practically speaking. We have been declared righteousness, which qualifies us to be recipients of the peace of Jesus. Now, am I righteous? No. But Jesus says I am. Well, where's the conflict here? Because I'm taking on the righteousness of Jesus through what he's already done for me. My past is no longer available. The present of right now, I live in the very power of the Holy Spirit who abides for me, who intercedes for me, who will convict me of sin and allow me to get things straight so I don't live in my past life. All the things the devil reminds you of, what you used to do, how you used to think, how you used to feel, those things don't count anymore. I have peace with God. Well, what else does that mean? It says our right to peace is through the blood of Jesus. Colossians chapter 1:20. This is a great scripture. I love this one. Here we go. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, let's get to Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to go ahead a few weeks. Some people will come to church on that particular event, hear about the cross, and I got some. I think the Lord's given me a wonderful message for that particular day. But the reality is, everything that you have to worry about has already been taken care of. What? Can I tell you something? None of us are going to stay here forever. It's what happens when this one's over that really counts. Some of you are trying to find peace and everything on this nirvana here. It's not going to work. It's not designed to work that way. But we have peace through the blood of Jesus. And his great love for us will grant us the right to have freedom from the chaos and confusion of the enemy. Well, here's what happens. Our heart can be protected from the assaults of the enemy. Philippians 4:7. This is a great one. Here we go. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which is my message today, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. I remember, well, Superman, you know, I didn't wear my Superman shirt today, but forgot. But he had this thing about him that whenever the people would try to put things in, it would just bounce off of him. It couldn't penetrate who he was because he had this super invisible shield, as it were, that guarded his heart from being damaged. Now, I know many of you have had insults hurled at you at various times. And if you're sensitive at all, it will reach into your heart. It will hurt you if indeed the enemy can make you believe that's who you are. But with Jesus' peace, you have a whole new identity. The supernatural peace of Jesus cannot be copied the peace of Jesus will enhance your ability to understand the spiritual attacks that are coming against you. Now, here's what happens. Life's going pretty well, this type of thing. You get home, you get a little notice in the mail that says, from the IRS. Doesn't that give you peace? And they remind you, says, well, after examining your tax profile from 2017, we overlooked the fact that da-da-da-da, and you now owe us $3,000. Whoopee! You're all excited. I tell you, that will be the worst day of your life, especially if you believe that's your destiny at that particular point. Now, you will not even examine the idea that it could be sent to the wrong person or they could have made a mistake. You will immediately take on the guilt and the shame of, what am I going to do? But remember, when you have the peace of Jesus and saying, well, Jesus, how are we going to handle this? That's the kind of peace I'm talking about. But the devil's trying to kill you with a heart attack over something that may not even be true. The immediate source that we have of Jesus saying, you say, well, you know, whether this is true or not doesn't matter, but I know what? God's going to take care of me. Wouldn't you love to respond to problems like that? That's the peace that Jesus wants to offer you today. It passes your understanding. And you talk to a friend and say, I mean, you're not afraid. They're going to take all the fright and the fear and everything else for you. I say, go ahead, handle it, enjoy it. I don't want it. I'm going to stay with Jesus and what he has for me. Well, what does that mean? This peace will guard your heart from fear and threats of the enemy. I have been in several situations. You know, there's been a threat. One of them, I think I related to you several years ago. I was over in Africa, and I can't give you the whole story, it takes too long. But basically what happened was the car I was riding in went out of control, went off the highway, down an embankment, and was headed for the river. That's exciting. And I'm thinking, I'm watching this happening in real time. But all of a sudden, here's what happened to me, and this is the absolute truth. I knew that God had an assignment for me over there. And as this is happening, it's happening so fast, we're going down this ravine, we're headed for the river, and by the way, I don't swim. Anyway, and so we're going down this ravine, and we're headed for the river. And immediately what came to my spirit was, Jesus, I don't believe you sent me over here to die in this river. Help me out. Rather than panicking, oh, Jesus, calmly as can be. I'm saying, I did not come here to die in a river. Lord, I need your help. Don't you know that car went from here up the embankment, away from the river, across the highway, back into that particular lane, and we were on our way where we were supposed to go. I did not yell. I did not scream. I didn't say, oh, my God. I said, I did not come here to die in the river. I still got people I need to preach to. I got people I need to help. And I need you to get me out of this situation. Thank you, Jesus. Say, how do you do that? I don't do that. It's the peace of Jesus in me that does that. It speaks to the situation and says, Oh, I'm going to install that on some of y'all today, okay? The peace of Jesus is from his spirit. John chapter 14, 27. Here we go. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I do not give to the world as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. I don't know which translation that is, but I need you to switch that to the translation that I've been using, which is the New King James Version. And otherwise, we have some miscue. If you can switch that over to that, that'd be great, okay? The supernatural peace of Jesus cannot be copied or imitated. Ever try to look peaceful and not be peaceful? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm great. I'm great. No, no, no. The sweat, that's nothing. It's just a little warm in the room. You can't fake it. I mean, you know, when your eyes are rolling back in your head and you've changed your... See, one thing about black folks, you can't tell when they're excited. I'd be having a meltdown, you'd never know. Bless you people lacking of color. I know exactly what's going on in your life. Woo, Jesus! I like candy apple red. Okay, work with it. But then I got this leg that'll twitch. Arm that just won't behave. Oh, God will tell off on you. But it's a spiritual encounter when we're in the presence of Jesus, who has all power in his hands. No threat is great enough to override the power of Jesus to bring things under control. Now, here's how it works. The peace that Jesus gives us is not intimidated by the powers or authority of man. Now, this is one scripture I want you to really nail down, because this is during a very crucial time in the life of Jesus. This is when he's before some people. And Jesus answers, says, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." He said, when did Jesus say that? He's in the midst of a judgment hall over people that are ready to crucify him. He says, let me tell you something. The only reason why I'm here is because the greater power of God allowing you to work on this situation. I'm not under your control. I'm under his control. That's what you need to be able to declare. No matter how bad it gets, if God is still for me, no matter what the world is saying, God is still on my side. Come on, you can go ahead and applaud. What does that mean? We can have peace even when the authorities and governments seem to have control over our situation. You say, what? I have never... Or I shouldn't say, I don't recall being in a situation where the government and I had a confrontation at that particular level. But I know the people who have. Where the government says, if you don't do this particular thing, we're going to take this away from you, we're going to take your child away, we're going to take this other responsibility. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit intervened, and all of a sudden, they said, oh, well, I don't know why I'm doing this, but in your situation, we need to make an exception. Anybody ever have that happen to you? God... The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I want to tell you, God has never lost control over your situation. What does that mean? Our knowledge of who he is, who is in control of all things, will grant us the grace and peace regardless of the situation. But here's another little piece that's important to you. The peace of Jesus will grant us understanding and grace withstand the threat of an enemy. Another story I told a while ago was, we're on a train between Berlin and we're going on our way to do some ministry over in this is right before the Berlin Wall came down. These three officers get on the train. They don't speak English. I don't speak what they spoke. We're even. But I know what they when but they did were able to speak in English. Give me your wallet. And I'm thinking, give me your wallet. In my wallet also is my passport and all the money we have for this trip. And if I give it to them, what am I going to do? Now, it wasn't that calm. It's like, whoo. But I want to tell you what God did. At this point, reading the Bible was a wonderful thing. Because David found himself in a situation at one time. And you know what David did? He acted like he was crazy. Anybody know that story? He acted like he lost his mind. And you know what the Holy Spirit says? I want you to act like you lost your mind. And you don't understand a word they're saying. And so I got as loud as I could. Wallet, what do you mean my wallet? I can't give you my wallet. Got in the man's face. He's got an AK-47 poked at my head. And I'm talking like I'm crazy. I figure the worst he can do is kill me. So I tell you what. I said, I can't give you my wallet. I can't give you none of this stuff. The man looked at me like, what? And I got people you could call today that will prove to you that this actually happened. That man looked at me. Now, he has my wallet and my stuff in his hand. All of a sudden, he takes my wallet and stuff, shoves it back in my chest, takes a gun out of my hand, and got off the train, and we got to our destination. What I'm trying to tell you, in the worst of situations, God has got a way out. Then after it's over with, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, what just happened? I need a major therapy after that. Here's a scripture I think that will hopefully change your life forever. I've used it many, many times. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Because I'm going to present something to you today that hopefully will change your life and the life of other people that you're with. I've used this scripture many times at many different funerals. Probably there's very few of them I haven't. Because this is a dissertation that Jesus is given to his disciples. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is right after the Lord's Supper. Jesus has talked to his disciples. Says, they're going to take me. They're going to take me from court to court. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. And they're looking at him saying, Jesus, what? He says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. How can you tell your disciples who've been with you that you're going to die or you're going to suffer a crucifixion and say, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, I got this, huh? Let me help you with this, because there's a huge impact of this. Now listen to this carefully. If your heart is troubled, it's because you don't believe in Jesus. Oh, that's mean. It's true. If the enemy can put any situation in your life where you accept trouble over what Jesus says, I've taken care of, you don't believe in Jesus. Oh, no. Finishing out the scripture, says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am you may be also. And Thomas says, how can we know the way? He says, what do you mean? And Jesus said these words, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Either you believe it or you don't. Well, it's one of the options that I've put it, you know, that I would consider at some point. And maybe someday I'll test Jesus on that and see whether that works for me. Either you believe it or you don't. I can't make you believe it, but there's great consequences when you don't. Listen to this carefully as we unfold it. Jesus is a living demonstration of why we should always have peace. What does that mean? It means that peace is not the postulate. It is not a postulate, but a person. And when we have heart trouble, it's because we are allowing the natural circumstances to remove our faith and trust from Jesus, and we move that trust to ourselves. Anytime you've been stressed out, I'll tell you 100%, it's because you've removed it from Jesus to yourself. Let me make it real clear to you. You believe more in you than you do in him. That's not fair. It's the truth. Because when we get heart trouble on that level, it means that I can handle this or I have to handle this. Jesus doesn't care about it. That's a lie. He'll perfect those things concerning you. That's what the Word of God says. So the peace of Jesus is more than escape from problems. Now, am I guaranteeing you that because you believe in Jesus, you no longer have any problems? No! But I will tell you this much, you will never go through your problems alone again.
You will have his comfort alongside of you. And in many times he'll tell you things you never thought of doing. He says, you need to do this, don't do that. Don't take that telephone call, yes, take that one. Don't do this, do that. And when you're obedient to God, he'll take you through it with a peace that is surpassing. And you say, I'm so glad I did this and didn't do that. That's the type of peace it gives you. But you can't have that type of peace when you're just all just picking things you want to do. Well, along with that, peace is secured by the hope of the words of Jesus' promise. And peace is the inheritance of those who declare their confidence in the words of Jesus' promises to all who believe. I'm declaring you to the words of Jesus because there are believers in this house. And before this service is over, there'll be more believers. Well, we must allow peace to rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15, this is a great word here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be, what's that last word?
Thankful.
Do you know what overrides peace? Ingratitude. Well, they got to do this, and I don't get to do that, so Jesus isn't fair. Huh? What are we talking about here? Do not compare your circumstances with somebody else's circumstances, because your peace will leave you. You're not allowed to compare this. Every situation is different. You don't see behind the lines of what people are going through, but you try to speculate. And the enemy says, oh, God isn't treating you fair. He helped them, he ain't going to help you. And so they got out of this really quickly, and you're still in it. Let peace rule your hearts. Anxiety. Now, listen to this carefully. You might want to write this down. Anxiety either borrowed from the past or is projected into the future. Your anxiety that you have is a reaction to something you've already been through. Oh, it's going to happen all over again. Going to the future. Or this is how I felt last time. I can't help how I feel. Yes, you can. Because Jesus has already given you the help of the Holy Spirit. We must allow peace to have its rightful place in our hearts and lives. Here's the next piece. Letting peace rule means that we choose not to allow our hearts to be troubled with things that only Jesus can change. You get to vote on this one. I haven't let you vote in weeks. This is the time. Get ready. How many of you today would say, you know what? I'm going through a situation that only Jesus can change. Only Jesus can do it. I can't do it. Oh, you are candidates today. Oh, I'm so excited for you. Because I want to bring you to the place of peace where you're going to turn it over to him. You've carried it long enough. You're carrying it long enough. And you know how you try to, ever try to strategize something? Your strategy together, and all of a sudden, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. How about turning it over to Jesus? How about accepting his peace in that situation and realizing that according to his plan, he's going to work it out and you'll have peace in the interim and you don't have to worry about a thing. If your heart is troubled, got to go back to that place, you're not believing in Jesus. That's kind of mean. No, it's true. If you're going through the same thing over and over and over again, you're having a great day and all of a sudden this pops up on the screen, there you are, back in your depression again. You know what happened? You didn't turn it over to Jesus. Peace will rule your heart. Well, here we go. So, peace is the divine protector from making choices and pursuing things that we will regret. Oh my goodness. The ruling power of peace is Jesus becoming the umpire, warning us against the potential bad choices. Oh, here's one. Brace yourself for this one. I can't make it any softer landing. Ever had your own personal peace about something that didn't work out? Oh, it'll be fine. And it didn't work out fine? That means When peace is absent, it's a direct indicator that there is danger and unnecessary risk. Can I talk to you about false peace? False peace is influenced by what you want over what God wants. And your resting upon what you want will oftentimes dismiss God's signs or indication that that's not the right way to go. Okay, I got to do something simpler. Ever had peace about buying an automobile that you really couldn't afford? Oh, it'll be fine. We'll get some overtime. We'll get it all taken care of. It's going to be totally fine. And now you're stuck with that thing? And the transmission went out before your 60th payment? I'm helping you right now. I'm preaching to you. But God said we could have it. I know he wants me to have that. I know he knows I love red. I love red. And I love speed. I love speed. Jesus knows I love speed. I got to move on. Otherwise, I could work that one for a while. But anyway, here's another one. We should never overrule peace to get to an answer. Well, we got to make a decision. Let's just make a decision. And if it's wrong, God will fix it. Really? Don't do it. Sin will rob you of your peace. Can I get an amen? Amen. Peace cannot abide in a disobedient heart. Woo! It's getting deep now, folks. Come on. Sin will make you focus on your problems instead of Jesus' promises. The peace of Jesus can overrule the power of sin. Here's the last little piece we're moving into. It says, peace is more than the absence of trouble. You know, you can be in the midst of chaos. Everybody's just freaking out. And you said, all I know is God's going to take care of the situation. People are yelling and screaming and cussing each other out, this type of thing. They said, what's with you? Because you know who you belong to. You know who you're answerable to. And you don't have to join in the chaos. Well, biblical peace is unrelated to circumstances. And Paul found peace to serve Jesus. Watch this. Philippians was written from Paul being in jail. How many of you could write a letter to the church exhorting them, thanking them for all the things they've done for you, and you in jail? Say, the only thing you'd write is, I'm in jail, get me out of here. Y'all just go on, you know, Facebook or someplace, or go on, you know, GoFundMe, get me out of here. Don't be laughing, that's what you do. You would never even think of the thought that God may want you in jail. I'm not a jailbird. That's not my type of people. I'm going to resist going down the road I was going to go on because some of you are too fragile to handle it. Oh, Jesus, help me to not say it. Let me get to the last piece. We must choose peace to be our constant mindset. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is one scripture. You need to write this one down. Now may the peace of himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. May the peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times in every way. I know all of you want that. At all times, in every way. Peace, stress, which one? Oh, peace, peace, peace. Well, these last little indications will help you do this. For every circumstance we face, you can be immersed in the peace of God. Which simply means this. Peace is a person of Jesus helping us to navigate various circumstances we face in life. And peace is Jesus' gift to us that is suitable for every situation we face. We do not ask for it, but we abide in it. What? Wouldn't you love to live in the peace of God? You can. Because Jesus says, when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid." He gives us the Holy Spirit, which is the author of peace, to guard our hearts at all times. Here's the last little piece here. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. I'm going to rush through this a little bit. Now, when they got into the boat and his disciples followed him, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Jesus was sleeping, but the disciples says, woke up saying, "Lord, save us. We're going down." Go on to verses 26 and 27. He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Verse 27, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." I wanted for you to discover before you leave here today what kind of man Jesus is. When you thought you were going down, Jesus will sustain you and keep you up. I want to let you know, sudden turmoil cannot overcome the peace that Jesus is going to give you. But Jesus' peace can deal with your thoughts of being overwhelmed with circumstances. And right where you sit today, I can look over this crowd of people and find out that everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through something. Can I say it again? Everybody's going through something. But you know what? Are you going through it with the peace of God, or are you going through it with your strength to be able to sustain and hold it together? I would like to exchange your strength of holding it together for the peace of God that has no limits as to what it can handle. As the worship team comes back up here, there's the last few scriptures. We can retain the peace of God if we reach out to Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7 says this: "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I'm going to give you folks an opportunity to do that today. That those of you who came here without peace, so you'll be able to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Or how about this? Thank him for what he has already done. Psalm 118, verse 29. This is great. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Before you ask God to fix this situation, you need to thank him for what he's already done. Amen. He brought you through dangers you thought you'd never make it through. You need to start thanking him for, "God, I didn't think I was making it then, and you brought me here, so I believe you can take me through to the next place I'm going." How about this in Psalm 119, verse 165? "Obey his word. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make you stumble." Read that part, it says, nothing can make you stumble. If you're falling out of sorts and this type of stuff's going on, and you're stumbling, the Bible says nothing can make you stumble. You can stumble over some stuff, but when you're riding in the peace of the Lord, he can take you through it. I have an invitation. I'm taking this with me because I want to make this very clear to some people as far as the response to the altar today. It's going to be important for us to do this. Peace is something you can talk about, but you need to activate what God's going to be doing. There are three groups of people that need to respond to Jesus today. Number one, you're here in this auditorium, and right now, you're going through a storm. And you don't know what to do. Or you've tried something and tried that, but be honest with you, you don't have peace. I promise you, when you respond to Jesus today, you will leave here with a peace that passes understanding. Every head bowed, every eye closed, because I'm going to give you a chance. Second group of people. You're sitting in this audience today, and you have a very important decision to make. And you need to make that decision right away. And you don't know which way to choose. I want you to come today. Jesus will give you peace to make the right decision. And the last one is, those of you that are afraid of your future, Because you're headed down a road and you don't know which way to take. But you need to decide, I'm either going to go this way or that way. And you want to have the peace that you're making the right decision. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. There's a song that changed my life throughout my life, but not even more so. I was at the Mabee Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at a spiritual conference called Azusa. It was about 12 o'clock midnight, and they had a great meeting there. People were being helped and being cleansed of different problems. And all of a sudden, the organist played this song that was my grandfather's favorite. And the name of the song was Peace. While you're listening to this one verse, it says, far away in the comforts of my spirit tonight, there's a melody that's sweeter than song. In celestial like strains, it unceasingly falls over my soul like an infinite calm. And then the verse goes like this, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. For those three groups of people, I want to invite you, everybody, to stand now. Everybody, please stand up. If you're going through a storm, I want to offer you peace. If you've got a decision to make, and I want to tell you that some of you here need to make a decision to follow Jesus. Matter of fact, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you need to make a decision to turn your life over to Jesus or come back to Jesus, I want that hand up in the air right now. Say, I need to do that today. Leave it up high. That's right. Somebody else, I need to get that taken care of today. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. That's right. Put those hands down. I want you to be the first group of people that come. But the other ones, they're making some decisions of fear of your future that you need to come to Jesus today. I want to invite you to come today with faith, believing that God is going to change your situation. And you're going through a storm and says, you know what? But these waves are not going to overtake me. Jesus is going to guide me through this storm, and I'm going to accept his peace. Both hands in the air as we surrender to Jesus. Lord, that awesome, awesome promise that you've given to us, that you would give us your peace, that past understanding. Lord, there are people here that want to leave with that assurance. And I pray as our hands are lifted to you, we would surrender ourselves to your love, to your grace, to your power, to your wisdom, to your authority, and accept that peace of the person of Jesus to live inside of us forever. Oh God, just allow us to come to that place of trusting you, believing you in spite of circumstances. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the joy of knowing you. We give all glory and honor and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.